again to me, wonderful works of life. Little more of their beauty sing, wonderful works of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and beauty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life, of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the blessed one gives to all, wonderful words of life. Sinner list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing up to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echoes the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life, of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Number 300.
Love divine, all love extending, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love.
Thank you for giving us your Son who died on the cross, dear Lord, so that we may have hope of eternal salvation. Dear Lord, be with those that are sick in the congregation, dear Lord. be with those that have lost loved ones. If you will, dear Lord, help us to give them comfort. Dear Lord, please give them guidance in their own lives. Dear Lord, may we study your word and learn more about your word today and on the days ahead of us, dear Lord. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
May we keep in memory all that thou hast said. May we truly worship as we eat the bread. Help us, Lord, help us, Lord, Lord, thy love to see. May we all in truth and spirit worship thee. May we kill in fear.
today is glad to see some of our young people that are part of our Youth Day in February every year to be a part of services this morning and to sing some songs in regard to that. We try to do each Sunday morning, and we're glad to be able to have you to teach them to our adults, and then adults to join in with us and everything. And so let's sing about the sanctuary. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Indeed, the word of art teaches us the sanctuary is just a physical building. But actually, the scripture teaches us that we are the inside part, is the sanctuary of the Lord. To live in, abide in our daily walk of life. So it's a good thing. Another song that we sing to young people, we introduce to them at camp, is actually song number 185 in our book. Don't remark it, but at least wise look at 185, the first verse of it. He is my everything, he is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. Gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything, now how about you? Some folks may ask me, some folks may say, who is this Jesus you talk about every day? He is my Savior, he set me free. So may his name sing along with me. He is my everything, he is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything, now how about you? What did Jesus do for us in this topic, third time that we'll study this subject of service? How did Jesus serve us? Did he not serve us with everything? Consider what Jesus taught us about the place of the Heavenly Father. He said, I came to do my Father's will and not mine own. Well, did he not tell us about his Father's will being what he was doing in life? And in John 17, when he closed out his earthly existence here upon this earth, he said to the Father in prayer, I have done what thou hast sent me to do. John 17, verse 4. So we talk about the Heavenly Father because Jesus talked about the Heavenly Father. He gave us information there. What did Jesus give us information about? The subject of sin. He said, you'll continue in your sins and you'll die in your sins. And where I go, you cannot come if you die in your sins. But if you believe that I am He, you shall be people who are pleased and helpful to the work of God the Father. And this is the way that I would have you to do. Believe in me. In John 8:24, he that believeth in me finds himself in a blessing of the Lord. If he does not believe in me, he shall die and not live. The idea of believing in Jesus was important. He was the Son of the Heavenly Father. He was the great plan of the Heavenly Father. He came from heaven above. And as a result of that, he taught us about the ways of God and the ways of his will as we were. What Jesus teaches us in regard to our purpose here upon this earth? There are a lot of people who question, why am I here? What am I here for? Why am I here upon this earth? And Jesus himself talked about mankind in John chapter 10. He talked about mankind being people who follow the word of the Lord, the will of the Lord. That God was the creator and he made it possible for us to be here upon this earth. As a result of that, we are to look up to God rather than look inward to ourselves. If we find ourselves following that way, as Jeremiah said long ago, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And so it is, Jesus was not telling people, look into yourself. You're the purpose why you're here. He looked up and said, the Father is the purpose that you're here. By his will and his desire, he set you here upon this earth. You came to be his child. The Hebrew writer tells us regarding this Heavenly Father in Hebrews 12 and verse 9, we all have fathers of our flesh and we reverence them. Much more should we reverence God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live. Hebrews 12. And verse 9.
There is a spirit within us. There is an eternal person within us. That eternal purpose within us is the purpose of God. We ought to praise God with that eternal purpose. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, we remember the bread. It's the body of Christ that we remember. We remember the fruit of the vine. It's the blood of Christ that we remember. We remember those things because they have a significance for us far greater and far more than just the unleavened bread and just the fruit juice. It's the idea of the Lord Himself being present in those examples for you and for me. We're people who then will be serving the Lord if we do that. In Jesus' teaching about our way of life and living here upon this earth, He taught us about the Heavenly Father. He taught about Himself and His teaching. He taught us about our way in which we ought to walk in this earthly life and why we're here to be people of God. He taught us about those things, but more than this, He taught us about our future. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen the next week? What's going to happen when I pass on from this earth? Jesus talked about that. He talked about how that we would be people who would be presented before the Lord. How that we'd be presented before a judgment day. And describes us as the nations in Matthew chapter 25 when He says, "Before Him shall be gathered all nations. And He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And to those that are upon His left hand, He will say, 'Depart from me, ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and for his angels.' But to those who serve Him, He said, 'What? Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit for you the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" That is a wonderful blessing, a place to be with Him. Peter talks about that kind of work that we do in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says regarding this way that we add to our faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. He says, "If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." But he says, "He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Notice what we're to do. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, make of you all diligence to make your calling and your election sure." What did Peter tell us? He said, you add these things to your life. And if you add faith and virtue and temperance and godliness and patience and godliness, brotherly kindness and love, he says, you'll have the entrance into the everlasting kingdom someday. We are here in the kingdom of the Lord today. We find ourselves observing the Lord's Supper in His kingdom. We find our people singing together in the kingdom of the Lord. We find ourselves in study of His word in the kingdom. We find ourselves in prayer of His kingdom. We find ourselves giving a proof of our love in the gifts that we give toward the work of the Lord in this place and around the world. The idea is that we'll be people who worship the Lord as we are, in spirit and in truth, Jesus said in John 4 at 24. And so we're to be people who worship the Lord in that way so that we'll be pleasing and acceptable to the Lord in His will and His way in our daily walk of life. But if we find ourselves foolish and foolhardy, we don't really concentrate on the things that are being said and the things that are being sung and things that are being prayed and the things that are being served to us. We don't find ourselves with love in our heart in a contribution that is given. Then we're missing the deeper meaning of each one of those things. The deeper meaning is an encouragement to us. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. And as we worship the Lord in truth, that's one way of His word. The idea of the truth is important to us. But if we find ourselves in spirit, in our inner being, never thinking about the words being said, never thinking about the songs being sung, never think about the Lord's Supper being served, the bread and the fruit of the vine, the body and the blood of Christ, never think about the love that's involved in our gift, we'll find ourselves not worshiping the Lord at all. We'll find ourselves like the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 20. He says there in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 20, you are eating this bread and this fruit of the vine. You're calling it the Lord's Supper, but it is not the Lord's Supper. What do you mean? That's the bread, the fruit of the vine. What do you mean? Bill, you're in your heart, you're not really committed to this. You're mixing it with other foods. You're enjoying it as a love feast meal of sorts. You're doing this when others are not even present. Not everybody's here. You're doing it to get through that service and get on before they ever arrive. Your purpose and your idea is not to worship the Lord. Your purpose is to get this dish done for yourselves. You're worshiping yourself. And that is not the right thing to do. He tells them there in 1 Corinthians 11 that when they ate that bread, they were eating. And when they drank that fruit of the vine, they were drinking condemnation to themselves. Can you imagine as we're in worship of God? Called worship. It's not really worship at all. It's called the Lord's Supper, but it's not the Lord's Supper at all to the brethren of Corinth. What were they doing? They needed to repent of that. They needed to turn away from that way of just getting there, hurrying it up, getting it done, and having the bread and having the fruit of the vine and being a part of a meal. They needed to have the idea in mind. This was the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. This is the worship of the Almighty. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we find a blessing in this worship. What did Jesus do in service to us? Did he not teach us so many things that we need to practice as people? And in that first century, they are recorded in the Bible, in the New Testament of the Bible. We find where they did not, and they were at the Lord's Supper eating and drinking condemnation to their souls. Now, if they were doing that as they partook of that, and they thought they were doing the right thing, they thought that was the way to go. No doubt as they hit one another, patted one another on the back as they left those services, they had some visitors that came, and they were speaking in tongues that nobody understood. And the interpreter was supposed to be present if they spoke in those languages. But the interpreter was out the door, and they're not there. So they spoke in those languages, and they were not understood. But they were insisting on something as they spoke those languages. The people who were the unbelievers who came to those services, they understood that something was expected of them. Something was important. The raising of the voice, the shouting and the ranting of it, the pounding of the fist maybe on the pulpit that they had at that day and time, whatever it was, they were doing something in a serious manner, and the people understood there was something for us to do. But we don't know what to do. So they did the thing that they understood. When they left those services, Paul writes, they leave saying, "You are all insane. You don't know what's going on. You are people who are insane." King James says, "Mad." You're people who are mad. Well, they were not physically mad. They were enjoying a service. They were having a great time with it. At the expense of those who came and did not understand a word being said. Paul describes his situation like this. He said, "I'd rather speak four words that by my mouth people may understand the word, the will of God, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." Nobody knows what's said. Nobody knows what's expected. And they leave saying you're insane at the church at Corinth. That's no way for you to behave. It was a sad situation as they considered that. To their credit, they read what Paul wrote to them in 1 Corinthians 11. And they read what they had done. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning of chapter 7, you read where they repented of what they had done. And he tells them there that they will be glad that they repented. They'll be so thankful that they turned away from that way of life, because they now could worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. They now could serve the Lord in a faithful way. How did Jesus serve the people of that first century as he serves us today? In a full way. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He did give his life for us. And that great hope of the soul in the place to go yet in the future, he talked to his disciples and to all of us as he began his departure from them in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. He says there in this regard, I love you. I care about you. I'm going to return to the Father. I want you to realize that love. He goes on to say in John 14 at 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man will come to the Father except by me. Indeed, Jesus taught us a will and a way for God to follow his way and do his will, and to enjoy the relationship that we have with him. And sometimes it'll bring a tear to our eye. It'll bring a lump to our throat. It'll bring a heavy feeling within our breast as we sing a word of him to one another, as we hear a word of set and a word of prayer from somebody. It'll mean so much to us to hear the word of God proclaimed and to follow along in the scripture these things that are being said. We'll find ourselves enjoying that proof of love. It won't be just a pitch into the plate. It will be a love within one's gift of giving. And we'll be people who, as we sing together the words of this old song, will remind us who it is that we're really supposed to serve. Why is the purpose of our gathering today? What's the idea of it gathering us this morning? It's not just to be sitting on a pew. It's not just to be hearing a message proclaimed. It's an idea of bowing before him who is my Lord and my King of kings. What did Jesus do to serve us? Did he not serve us fully and completely? And when he says to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When the Lord returns again, he does not wish to leave any of us aside. We noted in our first lesson study of this service how the angels will serve the cause of the coming of the Lord. And in Matthew chapter 13, in reference to this at verse 40, 41, Jesus notes to us that when the end of the world comes, he will dispatch his angels, and they will sever from the kingdom all that offend and commit iniquity. What about these brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11 who were eating and drinking condemnation to their souls? What could they expect at the end of the world and the Lord coming and his angels coming to them? They would be severed from the kingdom. All that offend and commit iniquity. Isn't it good to note that they repented? They changed. And they will be ever eternally thankful that they repented. According to 2 Corinthians 7. They would be so glad that they turned away from that way that they had formerly practiced. I tell you, when Jesus came and taught us, and he left his word for us through the disciples, he did that for the purpose of serving so completely, so fully, that we would never righteously deny him nor reject him. What a wonderful Lord that he is, and how it will often bring a tear to our eye and a lump to our throat and heaviness within our breast as we speak of him, as we sing of him, as we pray through him, as we find ourselves honoring him. It is a heavy, heavy load that he lifted for us. He is our everything, and he is our all. Thank you for your listening and study with us today. May the Lord bless and keep you during the course of this week. But before we leave this service today, it's an opportunity to offer an invitation. A preparation time has been extended. Water has been warmed overnight for anyone needing to be baptized into Christ, that they might begin that new life that Paul wrote about in Romans 6, how he began that new way of life that he walked. You can do that today. Clothing is provided. Everything is ready. You can be restored to the ways of the Lord too. If I've lived the way that the Corinthians live, I can repent. I can pray God's forgiveness. And I can ask others to recognize that if my example is of such in a community, that it will be rejected on them because they reject my example. When Simon did that, he said, "Pray you to the Lord for me." Indeed, that can be done today as we'll pray together for those that have obeyed the Lord in days gone by and not lived up to it and lived in such a way that they really don't recognize what worship of God and service of God is all about. But that service of God is fully done by our Lord himself. Won't you come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing together today?
Wonderful story of love, with the immortal strength, angels with rapture announced it, shepherds with wonder received it, sinner, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love, wonderful, wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love, Jesus provides a rest, wonderful story of love, for all the pure and in those mansions above us, with those who come before us, singing the rapturous chorus. Wonderful story of love, wonderful, wonderful story of love,
one more thing that be recorded for us in our lesson study today, because we'll have more than 3,000 people that will hear this in Central America this afternoon later on. They have been gone their walk to worship service there in Central America on Friday afternoon. They walked and they spent the night during the night. They walked all day yesterday. They are together this morning. They go on to an internet site called CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. They hear this sermon. They hear some of the songs that are sung by us all here today. They will worship the Lord and how thankful they are for what they hear, the songs included, and the sermon too. What a blessing it is to have that be done. And it is being done in that place. I don't know how many others in the other parts of the world, some in Belize and some other places, but I do know that they're there. And they respond to it. They write us. I went last week to check out where we were on our website. We're number 131 of all the people who come to the website. This is a website people out of Florida. They're not members of the church, but they are people who honor that website and they honor us. And I had to discuss with them before they gave me permission to put on it. But they are good men who work with a web service that really prosecutes those who hack us and take advantage of us. And they're glad to note to us 131 out of 2,138 sites that they manage. We're number 131. That tells you how many people come and listen to us as we are here at Crockett. It's a blessing. Thank you for your help in doing that. Thank you all for your blessing. Thank you all for being here today. Look forward to seeing you tonight if you possibly can at 6. My journey could be with you. Mountain through the deep air. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake you. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul.